This is the American Ag Network Week in Review. In the show today, Rusty Halvorsen gets us caught up on the week's top news.
Tyson Foods and Hormel are among the companies that could benefit from the partial trade agreement reached between the U.S. and China, that according to Market Analysis. The deal includes a plan to put off additional U.S. tariffs that were set to go into effect on December 15th. In addition, China will purchase $40 billion to $50 billion in U.S. agricultural goods. All things considered, regarding trade fights with several countries, U.S. meat exports have been solid in 2019. Dan Hallstrom is president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation.
Without a doubt, we're going to have a new record on beef and pork, which is hard to believe, but we will. You know, the reality is that, 2020 could even be better and more, I would say, of a more well-rounded demand base. Of course, on the pork side, China-Hong Kong region will be big, but we're seeing growth in some of the other areas as well. So, yes, we're in a very good position where we're not dependent on just a few markets. We have a pretty good, base of call it 10 to 15 major markets that are now taking our products, which is always a good position to be in.
The export levels are the result of a lot of hard work establishing trade relationships.
You know, especially with these headwinds the last 2 years, we've been part of this as well, working with the industry to develop some of these smaller emerging regions. And you look at Central America, places like Guatemala, Honduras, Panama. You look at South America, places like Colombia, Chile, and Peru. And even Africa, where we're starting to see more and more beef, in particular variety meats, and some muscle cuts go into places like Ghana and South Africa. You know, they're all small if you look at them individually, but you add them up as a group, and there's some significant volume going to these markets. So, yes, I think we need to keep our eye on some of these emerging regions as well.
University of Illinois ag economist Scott Irwin is cautiously optimistic about what China may purchase from the U.S., including soybeans, corn, and maybe U.S. ethanol.
I think that you will see, once China completes its current agreements, contracts with Brazil, that you're going to see probably a pretty strong return in soybeans as well. I really see them going towards, back towards that 1.1 billion bushel purchases from us in the next 2 to 3 years, which in and of itself is going to, if that really does happen, that'll be a remarkable comeback for our soybean business with China. I think immediate purchases where it might be most beneficial will be in corn. I mean, come on. I mean, their quota for U.S. Corn imports is 280 million bushels. I mean, if they bought all of that, that would have a big impact on the corn balance sheet. I think, they're not hardly buying any ethanol, and that could, if they would start buying 200-300, maybe even 400 million gallons of ethanol from us, all of a sudden that really changes the outlook for ethanol and gives us some further upward expansion in total ethanol demand. So, I agree. I mean, if the agreement is actually finalized by the Chinese as it's being discussed, if it's signed, and we always have to remember some caution, we're always only one tweak away from everything being scuttled. So, I think we have to have a wait-and-see attitude until it's actually signed. But from what we know now, it's definitely good news.
Heading into 2020, Irwin is cautiously optimistic.
The administration and on the political side of this is careful to not make the perfect the enemy of the good here, and that we keep in mind it would be a real boon to U.S. agriculture if we could just return in 2020 and 2021 going forward to something on the order of $25 to $30 billion of agricultural purchases by China will literally cause a mini boom in the U.S. ag economy. That's what I'm excited about, is just a return to that level, let alone the $40-50 million, which I think is kind of unrealistic. But let's keep in mind that 25 to 30 billion of purchases by China is a big deal that will have a major impact on the ag economy.
Grain and livestock traders were digesting the early news of the president's trade deal with China. Former USDA chief economist Joe Glauber.
You know, when I first heard of that this was going to increase trade to $40 to $50 billion, I mean, you have to say first, where's that going to come from? And soybeans clearly has been our big, product that we've been moving to China. About more than half of our exports over the last few years have been, well, prior to the trade war, at least, have been, soybeans. But, you know, China's facing the swine flu epidemic. They've culling hogs, and I think people think it's going to be a few years before they really bounce back. I think they may bounce back quicker than people think, but still it's not quite the market it was 3 years ago. And you know, we're going to face a lot of competition from Brazil for those beans. And so, you know, how much more exports are we going to be shipping to them than what we were doing, say, in 2017? I don't think that we can expect that half of that increase to get us to $40 billion is going to come from soybeans. So then you have to start looking at the other commodities, and China has said, well, they're willing to, they're pointing to some of the tariff rate quotas they have for corn and wheat and rice, and suggest that we could be helping fill some of those quotas. Those have been the quotas that have been under a lot of scrutiny, though. Those were the ones that we took them to the WTO on in terms of their failure to fill the quotas in the past. So, again, let's hope this actually translates into real trade. But even with that, I think we're still looking around for, well, what are the commodities that are going to get us to that $40 billion, $50 billion mark?
Because the goals are specified over a two-year window, it wouldn't be apparent until well after next year's presidential election if China fails to live up to the deal. Colin Woodall of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association says a breakthrough with China would be a positive for the protein market.
When you look at all of the analysts right now, and just on protein alone, and African swine fever, and what that has done to their protein supply, there's going to be opportunities. And whether we're talking to Cattle Facts, Rabobank, everybody is really optimistic about what this could do for the markets. And of course, after what we have seen throughout the fall here with the cattle markets, getting a little shot in the arm is definitely going to be welcome. We won't know all the details until we truly understand what's in this phase one deal, but regardless, we know that exports into China have already increased and probably will continue to increase.
Elsewhere last week, some positive movement was seen for USMCA, another deal that agriculture is watching closely.
This is a big deal. And when you step back and look at what does that really mean for the cattle industry, there's not going to be any incremental access for us. What it does, however, is provides the certainty that we'll be able to maintain that trading relationship with Canada and Mexico. And, of course, Canada and Mexico are two of the top five export markets for our product. They have been for years. And so we need to maintain that overall consistency. And so that is going to be good for us. You know, as we know, markets sure don't like surprises. And so to be able to say that we're going to have this deal moving forward is going to be good for us. So it's going to pass. The votes have been there since the summer, but they just needed to work out a few more things when it came to the provisions in Mexico of enforcing labor. That is now passed muster for the Democrats, so it will pass. But, however, the Senate now wants to go in and do a hearing, and unfortunately that's going to take up some time and push a final vote into 2020.
Dan Hallstrom, again, president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, says USMCA provides a lot more certainty for the U.S. meat industry.
The NAFTA, as it was in relation to beef, pork, and lamb, was good. I mean, it worked. We have to create an environment of stability and certainty going forward, and And that's exactly what the USMCA will do, assuring zero duties on all those products into both Mexico and Canada. And keep in mind, you look at Mexico, number two market value-wise for pork, number three market for beef, and number one market for lamb. You look at Canada, number four market for pork, number five market for beef, and number three market for lamb. They account for about almost just under $4 billion in sales on the export side. So very, very, very important destinations for our products. And like you said, USMCA getting it passed and implemented will put some certainty into the supply chain as us being suppliers to both of those markets.
A multi-year extension of the biodiesel tax credit was among the major provisions for agriculture and a big federal spending bill that will fund the government through the end of September. The dollar per gallon biodiesel tax credit would be retroactive from the start of 2018 and would run through the end of 2022. Kurt Kavarik with the National Biodiesel Board says it's great news for the industry if lawmakers can get it across the finish line.
It didn't happen as quickly as we had hoped, but we're enormously relieved and thrilled by what Congress has proposed and hopeful to get to the president for his signature before the end of this week. And that is essentially a five-year extension of the $1 per gallon blender's credit for biodiesel producers. Two of those years are obviously retroactive because it's been expired for 2 years, so 18 and 19. But 3 years of prospective certainty for this industry is going to do exactly what we have been preaching to Congress, and that is provide certainty to the producers, to the feedstock providers, to develop additional feedstocks to the consumers and also to the blenders. So we couldn't be happier.
It's been a while since that tax credit expired.
We haven't had a prospective tax credit at the start of the year since 2016. We haven't had 3 years of prospective tax credit since it was first enacted back in 2005. So we feel like we owe an enormous debt of gratitude to our congressional champions, particularly those in the Iowa delegation led by Senator Grassley, Senator Ernst, who was on the phone with the president, talking to him about the importance of the tax credit, to Representative Finkenauer, who led 40-plus Democrats in making sure that Speaker Pelosi knew this was a priority for them. So this wouldn't have happened without kind of the doggedness of a handful of our strongest champions, but also the same folks who understand the importance of this industry and this policy to the success of the industry and what it does for biodiesel producers, but also for soybean farmers.
The deal announced this past week provides some certainty that the industry has been seeking.
Our tax incentive is a transactional tax incentive, and it has always come back retroactively. Our producers are forced to price in the value of that tax credit when they sell the fuel. So going back to January 1st of 2018, they were selling biodiesel with contracts that built in the price of that tax credit coming back. So they've essentially been selling at a loss since then, carrying that financial burden. And what that means is, you know, we had a lot of companies, REG is one, that announced that they were putting on hold expansions of biodiesel facilities because they didn't have the cash to go through with them because it was all tied up in the tax credit. We've had at least 10 plants across the country that have either shut their doors or significantly ramped back production because of the uncertainty. So my expectation is, you know, with 3 years of prospective tax credit being made whole from the last two, many of these projects will now be kicked into high gear. I'm hoping plants will reopen, and I'm excited to see if we, you know, we'll get additional production capacity online. And what that means is additional markets for America's soybean farmers and that soybean oil, which I think at this time you would agree is a critical thing for our farmers to have given kind of the disruption in their trade markets.
The appropriations bill also includes an additional $1.5 billion in disaster funding that was pushed by Senator John Hoeven of North Dakota, chairman of the Senate Agriculture Appropriations Committee. We visited about the reprogramming of that funding this past week.
Right. In 2017, there was money provided for wildfire and demi-hurricane assistance. And so essentially there's a billion and a half there that we were able to reprogram for agriculture. And so that's what I did in our Ag Appropriations Committee, so that we can use it on behalf of our farmers and ranchers and get them through this very difficult stretch.
North Dakota Senator John Hoven. That's what's happening in agriculture. I'm Rusty Halverson.
This has been the American Ag Network Week in Review. I'm Sabrina Hill for Rusty Halverson and myself. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week.